This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the W12 podcast. Today we're joined by pod regulars Chris and Brad. And we've also got a very special guest, and that is the midfield maestro, Jack Colback. Hello, Jack. You all right, mate?
I'm good. Thank you.
Jack, how are you, mate? How's your day been? Been up so much?
No, not really. Just training this morning, obviously. Preparing for Saturday and then just in the house, relaxing.
Yes. How was it like when you get, like, do they put you up QPR or do they chuck you in the gaffer's spare room when you first come?
Nah, yeah, obviously I was in a hotel at first, and then it's just a case of trying to find somewhere to live. Obviously being around London, it's not cheap, yeah. So it took a few weeks.
It's your first London club, isn't it, you've played for, so how are you finding London?
It's good. I've always enjoyed coming down. Obviously, being up north, it's a lot different. I always used to come down when I could. There's a lot, obviously, going on. Nice restaurant show, stuff like that. So, it's a different experience, but I'm living far enough away to not be amongst all the hustle bustle, but it's not too bad a commute when we want to go in.
Yeah, have you got a favourite place there yet?
Loftus Road.
Good answer.
You had to say that, didn't you?
I know.
So anyway, so let's get started then on QPR. So I guess for me, what I want to ask is, what was the biggest factor in your decision to join QPR? I know Gareth mentioned, you know, getting you was long. Can you share a bit of insight into that? I guess you had other offers. Why did you pick us?
Yeah, obviously it was just a case of assessing everything. In my head, to be honest, before obviously I signed, I was probably thinking try and get a bit closer up north. Ended up coming further away, but obviously I met Gareth and he took me on the new training ground and obviously explained what he wanted to do with the club and where he wants to go. And once I'd had a look around and obviously spoke with the manager, it was one of them. I was just really, I suppose, excited, intrigued into being a part of something and dragging QPR from where we are to a new level, really.
Is there anyone in the, you know, squad that you've come close to that, you know, a bit of a bromance going on?
Obviously, I know Cookie from Forest, so
yeah,
that was nice to see him come in. Obviously, a familiar face, but also what he brings to the team. I knew what he would bring in terms of experience and leadership, and speaking to the manager quite a bit before he came in, obviously trying to see where it was and get it over the line. So it was nice to see him come in. And obviously I knew Asmia from Ipswich, which a long time ago now.
That was going back a few years.
Yeah, I was only 19, so feels a lifetime ago now. But yeah, the lads are all, you know, it's a good group. We all get on. I think we are all pulling in the right direction and want to do what the manager's looking for us to do. So I'm enjoying it so far.
I guess coming in as an experienced player as you are, and you're playing with the likes of Chair, Willock, has there already been any other players on the grass that is impressed you with their ability? That skinned you, nutmegged you.
Yeah, obviously, Illy's one of them. I used to enjoy playing against, to be honest. He's one of them players. He gets the ball and he stands you up and he's going one way, he's going the other way, and your legs are blown a bit, and you're thinking just hand it off to someone else, but he kind of wants to do it himself. But now that the talent in the group's really high, to be honest, I think some of the younger lads as well. Maybe I don't know if it's a different way of how they're brought up and through the youth system and their training methods, but in terms of kind of the ability on the ball, it's all really high. I probably experienced a different side to that, where it was when I was coming through, it was all about kind of moving the ball on and pass and move and stuff like that. Whereas a lot of the lads now are technically good at holding on to the ball and stuff like that, which is nice to see. But no, it's a good group, and I think the ability's there, the potential's there. It's obviously a young group, so I think adding the likes of me and Steve and Asmir, bit of experience has obviously helped that. And I think now it's just a case of keep doing what we're doing. I think you start the season well. Obviously, the points don't reflect that entirely, but I think, to be honest, we should be on more than what we're on. And I think it's a good time to be around, you know, QPR, and hopefully we can start turning decent performances into more points.
I guess for me as well, I just wanted to ask you, you know, like when you're back, obviously you're banned now for 3 games. Just wanted to know as a player, how is that tough? I know you're training and they're talking about the game coming, Coventry upcoming. How is that? You know, how do you go in there when they're talking about the game coming, or do you just step back, still train?
Yeah, obviously I've still been in the meetings and stuff, the meetings after games when we reflect on that, and the meetings to prepare for the next game. It's frustrating, really, because I'm still training, obviously, but I know I can't be involved, so it's difficult. And obviously, when you're not involved, you get slotted into the team who's probably not going to play against the team who are playing. And so I've been sent at half quite a bit this week, which, to be honest, I've enjoyed a bit. It's a bit easier than midfield, but no, it's one of the obviously. To be honest, I thought it was a one game when I got sent off. So obviously I dealt with the disappointment of getting sent off. Obviously, I knew it affected the result in that game. So that was tough enough. I accepted that and took that on the chin. But in my head, I had one game out and then I'd be back. So then when I found out it was three, it was frustrating, but it's one of them things. Just got to get on with it and make sure my training's been right. And I'll be looking forward to get back involved.
So, just in a weird way, do you think, obviously, where you didn't have a pre-season, do you think having these like 3 games where you can just be training solidly will help you over the course of the season?
Potentially, yeah, but I do think you just can't replicate playing games of football. You can train as much as you want, but I think the biggest thing you miss is sharpness, really. I've always been generally quite fit. Obviously, I probably had even less of a pre-season than I should have anyway and came back sooner. But obviously, I wanted to get involved as quickly as I could. So to obviously get back after a longer break and then have this 3-game suspension, it was frustrating. But it's one of them things. It's obviously it's my sort of game that if you miss time, anything now. I think the annoying thing was is I've not even tried to tackle the lad. I've tried to win the ball and play the ball back to Kutia Foxy. And as he's got there just before, obviously the follow through of my leg then catches him. That looks like a really bad tackle, but obviously the ref doesn't know that. But it's just one of them things. Obviously, yeah, it wasn't ideal. But like I say, I've kept myself fit with the training, done a bit extra running and stuff. So I'll be ready come the time the manager calls on me again.
So that's what happens when us 30-year-olds are trying to catch 17-year-olds on the pitch, yeah?
That's what it is, yeah. I've lost that bit of sharpness.
I guess for me, before I pass you over to Chris, obviously, I know you're not Sunderland's biggest fan at the moment, but coming from Newcastle up that way, are you a Sunderland or Newcastle fan, Geordie?
I was Newcastle growing up.
Newcastle. Mm. So I guess just one question then. What was it like, you know, obviously Newcastle and Sunderland rivals. What was it like to adapt? Because you played for both teams. Did you get any abuse or do you know what I mean? What was it like to just adapt to that?
To be fair, a few of the Sunderland fans probably like me a bit more now because I pretty much gave them 3 points, didn't I? So I might have won a few back. It was one of them. It was obviously just a decision I made. A lot got said about the move and Sunderland came out with a statement that it just wasn't true at all. Basically said I led the club on and said I was going to sign all along and then almost shafted them last minute, which wasn't the case. I said from the start I wanted to stay at Sunderland to my agent. But I just wanted to be appreciated and almost me feel like I was wanted by them in terms of what they offered. And that never came. So obviously the longer that goes, I was 24 at that stage. I was playing week in, week out. I just wanted to feel respected almost and it never came. So obviously time passes and you start talking to other clubs and it wasn't a case where I thought, right, I'll go to Newcastle to annoy Sunderland and I'll get one over them. It was just a move that it's a massive club. It meant I'd be living at home. So it was one of them where it was more of as a player, it's a job, it's a livelihood, and fans maybe don't say it that way, but the initial move was fine. I'm not on any social media or anything like that, so I imagine I got quite a lot of stick on there, but in terms of day-to-day, nothing really. Obviously, when I went back to the Stadium of Light as a Newcastle player, that was it was eventful.
Challenging.
I come off injured as well in the game, but I didn't want to obviously get stretched off. And I'd done my knee in the game, and I was saying to the physio, "I'm fine. I'll come back on." He obviously said, "You can't," because I came off. I'd come off the opposite side to the dugout, so then I had to walk. Obviously, back around the goal, so it was like just a Mexican wave of abuse. So it weren't the best choice, but no, it's something. Obviously, I had other options to Newcastle, and it was a decision I didn't make lightly, and I didn't make it quickly. But I think I always would have wondered what it would have been like if I didn't go to Newcastle. I think other clubs that were there would have just been no disrespect, but just another move type thing. So something that's just one of them things. I guess it takes a bit of bollocks to do, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think the point you mentioned there about being wanted, that's something that it really comes across that Gareth Ainsworth really wanted you as a player. And a lot of kind of the other things you bring to like the changing room, the team environment. So obviously he's talked a lot about wanting leaders in the squad. Is that something you find comes naturally to you? Or do you find that adds a bit of pressure when he's kind of saying, look, I'm bringing in these leaders like Colback, Cookie, Begovic. Is that something that, not a burden, but something you think about a bit more?
Not really, no. I think it does kind of come naturally. And I think with having, obviously, Asme and Cookie and other lads who've played a lot of football as well, with it not just being me, I suppose, it makes it easier. We've got a leadership group at the club where I think there's five of the lads are in there, Sam Field and Albert as well. So it's one of them. I've always kind of not been afraid to say things in a game or in training. I think it's just something you pick up with age as well. Obviously, I've played with other lads who've John O'Shea's and Wes Brown's who've been at the biggest clubs, and I probably learned things from them as well. And it's something I probably relish really. And if I can come in and impact the club in a positive way, and obviously I know I'm coming towards the end of my career, but if I could come here and do well and leave the club in a better state, then that was a big reason why I came here.
No, it's good to hear. And yeah, don't want to tell us that you're coming towards the end of your career. Like you're just about younger than the three of us. Makes it depressing. obviously, we know that kind of from your past clubs that you are a versatile player. Obviously, Gareth kind of put you in that central midfield role kind of in the games you've played. But has he spoken to you about your own versatility, like slotting in at left back, left wing back? A few times you did that for Forest.
Yeah, it's not. We've not had the discussion really, but obviously I'm sure he's aware that I've played there, and I'd say I can do a job there. not quite as athletic and as what's the flair he is, obviously Ken. But no, it's just one of them things. I suppose it's good to have. Obviously, I prefer playing in midfield. I think that's where I can have the most effect on games, but. Like in the past, I think I first started at Ipswich, ended up slotting in a couple of times, then Sunderland, and obviously at Forest. So it's something that I've never minded doing. It's one of them. If the gaffer needs me to play somewhere, then you just get on with it, I suppose.
Then you'll do it, yeah.
I mean, we won't want to push you wing back, mate. You're a top scorer at the minute for QPR. keep you in that centre mid.
Yeah, Ken's got two as well, hasn't he? So
yeah.
I know the gaffer's saying that. He said I didn't sign you for goals, but you know I'll take them when they come. To be fair,
I don't know if you could put another one of those volley crosses in that you did for Forest. Like one of those every other game would go down pretty nicely.
I'm not having that. People ask me, did I mean it? I'm like, come on. If you know the game, you know I mean that. You don't try and cross a ball like that. You know what I mean? It's because if I take the ball down there, right, I've got very few tricks in the locker, so I'm thinking I'll just hit it. And it went in.
I mean, it was a bit like the Zells, wasn't it? The other day, was that going around the dressing room? What a finish! No,
that does as a proper. The goal against West Brom is one of them. You hit it. I'm not aiming there. Obviously, I'm hitting it towards goal, but I'm not aiming there. It's almost lucky it goes in. Dozzy's is just the pure, crisp strike of a ball. That's a far more difficult goal than the one I scored. But yeah, it got mentioned a lot. What a strike.
Does he do any of them in training? Or is that like
I'm not seeing one. Dozzy can strike a ball. You've got a lovely, lovely technique. You can strike a ball.
Yeah, I'm hoping he does that a few more times this season. Yeah, his first goal, and I mean, yeah, unbelievable one to do it. So I guess the rest of his goals will kind of be downhill from there, but we'll take anything he can provide. Back to Ainsworth. You obviously worked under quite a lot of managers in your career. But what do you think are his specific strengths that you've noticed so far or differences to other managers you've worked under?
I always love this question because if you start comparing managers, you always say, oh, he thinks he's better than him. I think with Gareth, obviously, he's got his own ideas, his own methods. He's trying to create an atmosphere around the club. He's trying to almost drag the club from where it was, which was in, I imagine, a negative position from the way they finished last season. And that was a big thing that he said to me before I signed. And obviously he's got his ideas for how he wants to play, but one thing he has done is he's changed how he wants to play from when I first came in. And I think that always shows a good signs of a good manager, really. I've had in the past managers who would just stick to the same regardless of the opposition. It's the same tactics and you keep losing games. It's 1 a.m. You think, well, we're doing the same thing. It's not working almost, but he's changed things and we always adapt to how the team plays who we're coming up against. So I think if you're doing that, it shows good qualities and I'm to be honest, really enjoying working under him. He's the type of manager you really want to do well for because he's such a nice bloke. He's good around the lads. He's respectful to all staff. So I think that's something that as a club we can all buy into, and and hopefully, obviously, do what he wants us to do.
Yeah. Talking about kind of how we adjust depending on who we're playing against and the change of tactics, etc. Obviously, for a long time now, and going back to last season, our home form, we've really struggled. Mm. Obviously, I'm confident that's something we'll put right Saturday. But is there anything we're doing from a tactical point of view to look to assess that from your own point of view, like how we set up in terms of away games and home games? I mean, so far this season, we've been a lot more successful away from home. Do you feel that suits how we are setting up, or just one of those things in kind of a small sample size?
Yeah, I think away from home, obviously, we've been doing well on the counter-attack almost. So I think the pitch at Loftus Road's a lot smaller than others. So when we've been away, Southampton, Cardiff, Middlesbrough, the pitches are bigger. There's naturally more space. We've got a lot of pace in the team. And I think that's how we've hurt teams away from home. Obviously, at home, you haven't got that as much. But I think if you look at the games at home, I think Ipswich, we deserve to win. I think there was nothing in the game. We had the better chances. They get a jammy goal, really, and end up winning. I think the Sunderland game, obviously taking out my red card, that could be a different story. Swansea get a goal that shouldn't have been. See how it is, you know. And we had chances again. So I think it's just one of them. Sometimes you can get caught up in it too much, get caught up in them stats. And obviously we know as a group and as players, it's not good enough. We know we need to be winning games at home. And I think from past experience as an away player coming to Loftus Road, it's a difficult place to come. And I think we need to certainly use that and make it difficult for teams coming there. And in fairness, I think we have. I think we've just... It's fine margins in football. I think, we could easily be sat here on two wins at home and on 14, 15 points, whatever it might be. But that's not the case. We understand that. We understand we need to start winning games at home. And it's something that we've tried to address. But I think in terms of, to answer your question, tactically and stuff like that, I think we're setting up the right way. Obviously, there might be certain things in any game you think, oh, I wish I'd done that, or you should have done that more. But that's football. And I think if we knew that, then obviously we'd be laughing. But I think it's one of them that the wins will come at home. And once we do get that, I suppose, monkey off our back type thing, we should be fine.
Nice. I guess this is quite an open question, but what do you feel would represent like a good season for us? And then secondly, have you got any like personal targets around your own season? I'm not expecting you to say to keep up kind of 1-2 games to goals to game ratio, but obviously there's a huge amount of stats in the game, so I'm not even limiting yourself to going, okay, I need to get this amount of goals and assists. Is there other elements that come into the game of saying, okay, I want to achieve this as my average running stat of a game, or how deep does that go?
I think firstly, as a group, I think we can. It's hard to put, a target on the season. I think the way the league is, you can be 6-7 points off playoffs, but 6-7 points off relegation as well. So, like I say, it's such fine margins. You look at, I think Cardiff have won 3 on the bounce. All of a sudden, they're top half, and obviously they were struggling before that. But I think, obviously, it sounds boring, but we take each game as it comes. We try and get as many points on the board as we can, and I think we go from there. But going off what we've faced so far, I think it's one of them. I don't think you can aim too high in this league. I think it's not. It's tough because of the demands in terms of games, and you obviously you play against different systems, and once you get through the winter, Tuesday nights and stuff like that. And it's tough in that sense. But in terms of the quality of the league, I think there's no ceiling to where we could potentially aim for. But obviously, like I say, we take each game as it comes and go from then. And personally, I've never been one to really set goals and targets. I think for me, I put the team first. And like I say, I'd much rather have an average game or a poor game and the team wins than, like, say, at Southampton, I get a goal for myself, but we get beat, because then it means nothing, really. But obviously, I suppose, just for me, just trying to be the best I can be, which will help the team and help us pick up wins, you know, which the fans deserve.
Yeah, obviously the league is brutal. It's a big schedule. There are some teams that on paper do look really strong, but on anybody's day, anybody can beat anybody. But out of the teams we've faced so far, have you been particularly like really impressed with any of them, or do you feel kind of we've got a chance to kind of beat anybody?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think obviously Ipswich are flying on the second, I think. And no disrespect to them, but I didn't think they had much at all.
We spoke about that. We expected them to be a lot better given the reputation they came up with. And yeah, then the team we saw at Loftus Road, we were competing with them. Like you said, we could have easily won that game, got a point. It wasn't like, oh, we're watching one of the best teams we've ever seen in front of us here.
Yeah, I mean, I know it can be different away from home. And like I said, the pitch at our place is smaller, so you might go to their place when we play them and the pass the ball on, you can't get behind me thinking, Jesus Christ, he's a good, you know what I mean? But no, like I say, I think we've, other than the Watford game, obviously, which probably caught the lads' call first game of the season, I think we've competed in every game. I think Southampton, we should win. We had the chances. They had all the possession, but they do nothing with it. We should win that. Obviously, we beat Borough, beat Cardiff, Ipswich. Like I say, I think we should win. So, yeah, I suppose I think we can compete with most teams in this league. There's going to be tough games, obviously. It's going to be games that we lose, but that's the nature of it. I think if you look at the league, Leicester look like they could win the league whenever they want to be honest. But I think they should, because of the team they've got. We've got a lot of Premier League players in that squad still, so they're doing what they should be. But other than that, like I say, I think we can compete in every game. It's just, I suppose, turning them near performances and decent performances into points, because that's what matters.
Exactly. I mean, we feel outside that Watford game, we've been in every game. It's like you say, it's very fine margins. It's the the Armstrong shot that hit both posts against Ipswich, if that goes in, we're talking about a completely different game here.
That could
go in our favour very easily. So it's definitely positive signs. Positive sign that's been obviously massive for the club was the new training ground. Obviously, you mentioned earlier that Gareth showed you around there. How does that, obviously, you've been at some massive clubs that you mentioned earlier. How does our training ground compare to that? And were you still impressed? I kind of know that Mike Ashley hasn't invested a huge amount in kind of Newcastle's, but I'm still expecting it was probably better than what we had previously anyway.
It wasn't, to be honest. it wasn't. The new training ground at QPR is really good. It's lovely. Newcastle was not great at all, obviously. I think they've improved it now. You see on videos, it looks a lot better. Forest was kind of in the process of updating that as well when I first went, so I'd say QPR is probably ahead of that one as well. Sunderland's is top, to be honest. That's the best I've been at in terms of the whole place. It's proper Premier League facilities. Obviously Ipswich was just average, really, but now it's a big plus for the club. I think it shows that the club are trying to move forward. Obviously, experience the Premier League, however long ago it was. And I think it's a club that should be striving to get there, and having facilities like that can only help.
Jack, obviously you're unavailable for selection this weekend. Like, what was your routine for Saturday now? Do you go to with the squad to the game? Have you got the weekend off? Do you have to do some work with the B team development squad? Kind of, what's your Saturday plans?
So obviously I'll just train as normal tomorrow. Probably do a bit extra because it's normally lighter on a Friday. And then I don't know if I'm in Saturday morning or not yet. I've not had that shout yet, so hopefully they'll just say, just go to the game Saturday, in which case I'll just turn up for the game, get there a little bit before kickoff, obviously go in, see the lads, all the best, that sort of thing, and then sit and watch like the fans do, which I didn't enjoy, to be honest. When we played Swansea, it was horrible watching. It's not very nice. I felt like what fans must feel when you're getting frustrated. But,
are you shouting, are you saying, get into him?
Well, I was, yeah, a little bit. You're like, you're trying to like obviously stay professional, but you're thinking, the thing is, you sat there, obviously it's a completely different perspective because you can see everything. Yeah. So when you're on the pitch playing, obviously you get the ball, you've got a man closing you down, whatever. Sometimes you're just seeing glimpses of shirts in terms of where you might pass to, or you're looking one way, but the guy on the left, and you see that in the fans, I'm thinking, just play that one. But it's obviously not the same. But yeah, it was not something I want to do too often. But yeah, I'll just be going to the game as normal and then hopefully gelling on 3 points.
Obviously, on a personal level, are you watching the game and hoping, on a little bit personal, that we don't perform well so you get straight back in the team? Because if we go out and like smash Coventry 4-0, like, you don't change a winning team, so you're going to be back on the bench. So how does that make you feel?
No, I think, of course, I want the team to win, because then the day we're all pulling in, or we should be pulling in the same direction, and certainly don't want to be involved in a scrap near the bottom. So a win makes it easier for me when I do get back in the team, if I do so. And it's one of them things, I think you might get players, to be honest, who sit there and have been dropped and think, oh, the team get beat today, but I don't know, that's not something that's ever sat right in there. Even if I did, I wouldn't say it on you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
obviously, while I was playing Sunday League, if anyone on the team got a red card sent off, unfortunately for them, they'd have to buy the first round of drinks in the clubhouse after the game. Is there anything like that in the professional game? Like, have you had to take the lads out for dinner or anything like that? Or has there been like any forfeits for doing it, apart from obviously the fine?
No, there's not been. I don't know. I've not really experienced that. I get it with Sunday. I think it's good. Stuff like that's good. It's good crack, obviously. And we've got like fine systems in place. And if you get a fine, it's obviously nothing too heavy, but we've got a little wheel that we spin. So you could fall on no fine and you get rid of your fine, or could double, or little forfeits on there. But
or get Gareth Ainsworth a new pair of boots.
I don't mind them, they're all right then.
So did you spin the wheel? What did you get?
I got fined last week. I spun the wheel and got no fine, so you know, but thing is, all the fines go in the pot. So I said, you should take the no fine off the wheel because it shouldn't be on there. We want to build the money. So when we do have little social evenings and stuff, we've got money at the pub. But
what's the worst forfeit on there? What didn't you want to get?
Got to wear the gaffer's boots. No, I couldn't tell off the top of my head. I was just looking for the no fine, but you've got to be PC now, don't you? You can't be too ruthless now. You'll get cancelled nowadays. Get sacked.
Get sacked. obviously, you've had a long career. You've been around some talented players. You've seen some talented players come through the ranks at various clubs. What do you make of our own talented youngster in Sinclair Armstrong? Like, what do you think his personal ceiling could be?
I suppose it's a lot of it's dependent on the individual now. I think he's got all the attributes to get to wherever he wants to, I suppose. Obviously, I won't say the obvious in terms of his speed because that's well known, but technically he's a good player. And obviously the physicality he's got is half the battle, really. Obviously, people don't appreciate how hard it is when you're not very quick and not very strong to try and make a career when you've got these players who are just rapid and can get out of situations. But now Sinks is he's got a good head on his shoulders, and I think that's half the battle now, really, with younger players. I think if he stays humble and he stays honest and works hard, then things can get to wherever he wants to get to.
When you were lining up with the second squad and you said you were playing centre-back earlier, were you against him?
Yeah, I had about 10, 15 minutes against him. He didn't get a kick, to be honest. Yeah. No, I kept trying to play the offside trap, so I didn't have to run back.
Probably a good idea.
Obviously, before a game, do you look at the opposition and analyse who you're up against in that midfield battle? I've always wondered, do you actually do your own research? Do the club give you a little iPad and say, this is who we expect you to be lining up against? Is it something you want to do yourself and pick elements of their game that you think you could best them at?
It is something that I've experienced before. I've had times at clubs where there'll be an iPad in the dressing room and it'll have their team, starting team on, and it'll have every player. And if you click on the player, it'll show you kind of clips of what they do. But it's not something I've ever looked too much into. Obviously, got a good idea of who you're playing up against most weeks. So, and obviously in team meetings, the gaffer will point out certain players and maybe someone cuts in on the left all the time or whatever it is. So you've got a good idea going into it. But for me, I always just think I go into the game and it's one of them. It's you against them. And I've always kind of backed myself against anyone, really. Even in the Premier League, come up against some world-class players. But defensively, I've always been decent at kind of that side of things. So I have had a few games where I think, Jesus Christ, I shouldn't be on the same pitch as these guys. it's not something I really do too much. I'll have a look on the board in the dressing room, see who's playing, and just go from there.
I guess, Jack, look, it's been brilliant having you on, and we're very grateful for you coming on. I've got one question just before we let you go. Quick fire. We just want to know your five-a-side team, QPR team at the moment. You're the gaffer. You've got to have a goalie. Who are you picking?
Yeah. All right, it's going to cause me issues here. The lads ask why I went in. I've got to have a keeper. So I'll go Asmir because he's playing, match fit and all that.
Yeah.
I go Steve.
You had to do that one, didn't you?
Yeah, well, you get the ump. You win, so you get the ump. And I'll go Illy, Chris Willick, and
one more.
one more. I have to go Fieldy for a better,
some
better
team.
Gritting experience.
Some team. Nice one, Jackie.
Go on, go on.
Nice one. It's been fantastic having you on, mate, and cheers for giving us your time.
No worries. I appreciate
we'll let
it.
You get back.
Hopefully see you back in that starting lineup soon.
Yeah.
And banging in a few more goals. Cheers, Jack.
Cheers, Jack, mate.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Wow, that was really good having a chat with Jack Colback there. Some really insightful information about the team and about, obviously, for me, interested about the red card situation because it's always interesting what players get up to. But let's jump back in with the review of the Birmingham game on last Friday. It feels like absolute ages ago, that result, 0-0. Chris, what did you make of the game, mate?
So, firstly, I watched this game on the balcony of my hotel room in Corfu. So the game started at 10 o'clock. Well, you say nice. But I'd been up since like about 6 o'clock with my daughter. So I was absolutely knackered. And I kind of knew, I was like, if I don't watch this game, we could do well and therefore I'm going to miss out. I can't like wake up and just see the score in the morning. So I've got to watch it. But I mean, we'll take a point. You take a point, you take a clean sheet. It's an element to which you move on. I mean, the field clearance off the line was unbelievable. Obviously, Sky showed how close that was to going in. But like, what, an inch? Two?
You won't see that again, will you?
That's like a split second. Like if he'd reacted a split second slower, that's in. Like that's how vital that like his reaction time was there for that clearance.
Yeah. But we did all right. We created a few things. There was a spell in the first half where we were on top and we looked decent. And we all said to each other, we've got a score at this point. And that's still an element to which we don't seem to do. When we're playing well, we don't take full advantage of it. They had the better chances in the game, but second half, I wasn't worried. Didn't look like they were going to score. It didn't really look like we were going to score, except for the Dykes header. The field chance that Ruddy just pulled off. I think that was just great goalkeeping, wasn't it? And he's flicked it against field and it's gone wide. Like we were talking with Colback, it's a game of inches and it's such fine margins. That could have easily gone in.
Ruddy always seems to have a good game against us as well, though.
Yeah.
He's one of those goalies, always seems to just turn up against us. Like,
I don't know how old he is, but maybe we should sign him on a free when Begovic goes, just so then he can't play against us.
Obviously, Brad, Chris touched on Dykes' header there. It went straight to Ruddy. Do you think he's got to be burying that? Are you being critical there, or do you think it was a good save?
I mean, I think it's a bit harsh to say he should bury that. He headed it down, which a striker should probably do in that sort of situation. But he was just unlucky. Ruddy pulled an unbelievable save, didn't he? I mean, my touches on Birmingham. Defensively, we looked okay again. I mean, most games this season, defensively, we've looked okay. We've looked good. But it's just, for me, down the right side is our weak side. Down that right, we've just been struggling. I mean, but it's one of them games. But and it could have went either way, 1-0, either way, really.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that shows why we've recruited this week on that right-hand side. I think that'll give us an option going forward. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Was there any other key points from the Birmingham game either of you two feel we need to be talking about? Obviously, Begovic, we've said, has been a little bit inconsistent in the last few games, but I thought he was pretty solid, made some good saves. Obviously, Cook, Field putting their bodies on the line, both were like putting monster performances. Was anyone else that caught your eye, Brad?
Big chair was a bit quiet again. There was a free kick where I would have liked to have seen him get it on target. That was just for my bet, by the way, but yeah. But I mean, I guess for me, I don't want to keep touching it for too long and talk about it for two, because we talk about it every week. But Chris Willock coming on at 75 minutes, I just can't understand it. Even when he come on, he didn't really look like he wanted to be there. From what I was watching, I don't know if that me being harsh.
It's really difficult, isn't it? Because I've really felt the game swung on the substitutions. And when we made our substitution, brought Adama on, brought Willock on, I felt for us, our attacking intent just went. And Birmingham had obviously had a bit of a better bench, brought on their subs on. And the game just fizzled out that last kind of 15 minutes. It felt like the subs really killed the game and neither team really pushed on with them.
But I guess going on the perspective, we're talking on our squad about depth. I mean, Birmingham, it just shows you how much depth they've got with the players coming off the bench. You know, I know we brought Willock on off the bench, but we're still bringing the likes of Adama on. But what was your guys' view on Adama pointing to his name on the back of his shirt?
He's got to have a bit of a laugh, isn't he? An ex-Villa player. Like, he's obviously going to get some stick. But obviously, what we really wanted was him to put the cross that he did in for Dyke. If that goes in, Adama can even have an even bigger grin on his face and kind of really milk it up. Back to Willock. Like in the, was it the Sunderland game where he came on and he showed a lot in that game. Like even in a small spell. Like obviously we were under the cosh, but he looked good in that Swansea game. Didn't show a lot. The Birmingham game against, like, showing these small glimpses, but we need other teams are looking at him and being like, shit, Chris Willock's coming on. Like, we could be worried here. But then he's just not quite there, is it? Like,
but I guess for me, though, you know, thinking about that, Chris Willock is coming on. Sinclair Armstrong would have changed that game if he'd come on at 70 minutes against a tired Birmingham. I just think bringing a sink on off the bench, 70 minutes.
I think
defender's worst nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, it did shock me when he still started that game because he'd obviously come off against Sunderland, was really frustrated and annoyed, which you can understand from a personal point of view. Like he was up front by himself, playing with 10 men, not a lot of service. Then Dykes comes on and they played together for what felt like 2 minutes. Sinclair's probably thinking, great, I've got some support up here. The balls you're now pumping into me can be get flicked on. I might get one chance to get in. Yeah, was the Birmingham game just one too many starts in a row? I guess it's easy to say in hindsight, maybe. But maybe you need to
put him in there for the experience, don't you? We need to put him in there to get that game time. That's I'm a bit on the fence of it, to be honest. But there's two ways you can look at it, isn't there?
Yeah,
I think, again, that goes down to our squad depth, doesn't it? Like, who you're putting on instead of Sinks to start the game, that then he could be coming on to be effective for. Like, we've said Willock's not been performing at his level yet. Do you start Willock, give him some minutes and hope that he can kick on? It's like, it's a really tricky situation at the minute with getting the right kind of balance where we seem to be defensively getting in the right position, being solid, putting blocks on the line, but we seem to be lacking that final cutting edge. And I think that's Gareth's now main issue, is making us more of a goal threat whilst keeping us solid at the back.
But then I guess I've got a question on that then. If we're talking about Birmingham, about depth, I know we're talking on depth. Oh, so my question is, are we a few signings away from a good window? Or are we there now if we get one more in? If that makes sense. Because I know we're short up top.
I think that's the problem. Defensively now, I think we look as solid as we have done for years. Like, you think we have the back five, potentially, obviously, we're going to talk about Reggie Cannon in a little bit. He looks, from what YouTube, like, reels, looks amazing. And he's like, I'm not going to pass judgment until I've seen him in person. But he looks like he's going to add some real depth. He's in the USA International, so he's got some pedigree. You think we've got Cook, we've got Dunn back, we've got Clark Salter back, Fox is performing well, we've got Powell. We've got Begovic. That's a solid unit as a defence with some cover when everyone's now fully fit. So that I'm not so worried about us defensively now. And then we've got obviously Field and Colback at Shield in front of that. You think brilliant. But going forward is where we're lacking. And like you said, who are we going to bring in now? Chris Martin's gone to Bristol Rovers. We all thought that could have been a deal that was going to get pushed through for us. Like I don't know who else is out there as a free signing striker.
I mean, that's for the me, thing, guys. I think we've had a good window, personally, on a defensive perspective. We have. Look at the players we've brought in. I know we've had a lot brought in as well in the years back, but the players we've brought in, he's done well with considering You know, we're right in the corner with the FFP. You know, I think we're doing okay. I generally think we're a few signings up top away from a good, strong window for QPR. I don't know if that's a strong point.
I mean, it's just by this stage, who is a free agent? But that's why you have a scouting network. That's why you have a huge list of players you've been looking at. I mean, even in the Reggie Cannon report, they said, this is a player we've been looking at for 2 years. Now, you can take that one of two ways. You should have a massive database of players you're looking at or have got stats on. And was he just one of a thousand, not a thousand right backs, but like 50 right backs you had on a list? Or was it a bit more than that? We'll never know. But I thought that line in the club kind of statement was just quite funny. But we wouldn't, if you said 3 weeks ago, oh, we're going to sign a USA international as a free agent, no one would have believed you. So there could be some striker out there that can come in and bag eight goals for us. Who knows?
We've been looking at him for 10 years and he's experienced.
Yeah, exactly that. And now finally he's free and willing to play.
But like you said, it's a very much like a kind of left field kind of signing. Like, it's not someone I would have thought we would have been looking at all. So no. To get him over the line, obviously rumour has it that he was linked with Burnley at the start of the summer. Obviously that didn't materialise for whatever reasons going on with Boa Vista and the not being paid. But obviously if Burnley are looking at him, they're a Premier League team now. So surely that shows us he's got something about him.
I mean, it's good, isn't it?
You don't get 28 games, I think it's 28 caps, for your country, and your country's at a decent level if you're useless, do you? Yeah. So there's positives, and hopefully Saturday can be a bigger positive with a win.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a good that it offers competition for Kakai, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think also it'll let Smith push on further forward as well.
Yeah.
We can put Ozzy back to right wing back, or even Reggie at right wing back. From what obviously Gareth said, he wants him to get in behind the lines and stuff. So that means Smith could be pushed further up, playing as part of the front three, which will give us his pace in behind defences. So I think that's a positive. Obviously, Gareth also mentioned today about having a basically fully fit squad to pick from. If you're in Gareth's boots, those lovely boots, what's your starting 11? Chris, I'll start with you. What's your starting 11? Everyone fully fit?
Everyone fully fit for Saturday. So yep. Begovic in goal, Kakai, Cook. I would drop Fox and I'd put Clark Salter in. I think Fox hasn't really done anything particularly wrong. I think he's been solid and he's been fine. But on the ball, I feel he's very slow. He's taking like only 3-4 touches. The striker's on him, and then he's giving the ball. We know Clark's always a much better ball-playing defender, so I'd put him in. Yeah, he might get injured after 20 minutes, but kind of got to play eventually. Powell on the left. Field Dizel in the midfield. Smith out wide. Chair out wide, and then I know we talked about Armstrong being rested, but I'd go with him and Dykes. I think you've got to play both of them at home. Like, Colback's made the point there, right? Like, we do have a different tactical setup when we play at home. The pitch thing, right? If someone wants to measure the pitch, is it actually smaller or does it just feel smaller? I'm never totally sure. But yeah, we have those two. They can cause problems. We're playing up against a team who have got one win this season. They've drawn 5 of their last 6. And apparently their game on Monday, got some other Championship fans who actually watched it, said it was one of the worst games they've ever seen. They said neither team had any quality. We've got to be looking at that to be like, right, don't want to say must win because it's so early, but with our home form, kind of feel it is.
I mean, it is 100% a must win. We've won 1-18 at home. It's a must win. And we've got fixtures coming up after the Coventry that are tough games. We've got tough games coming up. So these 3 points are massive in my eyes. And going on, don't your team, to be honest, I don't think you'd change much from Birmingham, to be honest. I think that's quite a strong team. I know Chris said bring Clark Salter in, Fox, but I do like Fox. But I do like Clark Silver. But then I just think, oh, are we again? Are we rushing him back? Is he really match fit?
Yeah.
I think the thing with Fox is he's the one person who kind of, he hasn't necessarily done anything wrong, but it's his position that's under threat with like CJ Clark sort of sitting on the bench, waiting in the wings almost.
But and, you've got Dunn.
Jimmy Dunn obviously back. I'd be very surprised if Jimmy Dunn features at all.
I feel something's gone wrong if he plays any minutes Saturday. Like, yeah. Two centre backs would have to get injured, and or he's thrown on as like seriously emergency striker for the last 5 minutes.
So there's a question for you. Then. Is Jimmy Dunn the bench player from going forward?
For me personally, depending on obviously if we stick with the kind of formation we're playing now with wing backs, I would like to see a back three of Dunn, Cook, and obviously Jay Clark-Salter. Powell left wing back, and I'd like to see this Reggie Cannon as a right wing back once we've seen him play. I think that could be his position, and that frees up Smith to be up top, either alongside Dykes or cutting in from the wing, giving us that pace constantly behind defenders with Reggie Cannon and Powell kind of pushing on each side. I don't know what you boys think of anything like that.
I've seen that talked about on Twitter and like done at right centre back, because I think that formation can work. People have highlighted and gone, your right centre back would then be pulled wide because they target that space in behind a Cannon, a Smith, whoever's at right wing back, to drag Dunn out, and that's not where we want him. We don't want him like one on one with someone out there. Yeah, teams might target it, but does it? It gets two attacking fullbacks more forward for us, right? And surely that's the key. We've talked about attacking and goals are our problem, so we need to give the forward players more support. So, game dependent. I think I can see us using that system a fair amount this season, or maybe it's just a system we're going to talk about on this pod all season, and we won't see it all year.
Will it? Question is though, will he bring Willett starting? Who knows? No one knows today, but he won't drop Smith. He loves him, doesn't he? And he has done well since the start of the season, Smith.
I think the problem with Smith is, this is my one reservation with him, is he's constantly getting in the right positions, but his final ball, his end product, just isn't consistent enough. He could put 10 crosses in and only one hits our striker. And the problem is, with our strikers, they need 3 chances to score a goal. Sinclair and Dykes are not clinical. They don't get one chance a goal. They're not those kind of strikers. They need 2 or 3 opportunities to get the one goal.
I mean, Dyke's done that's it the other problem. Night. Dyke's done it the other night, to be fair. What a header that was.
Yeah, what a header it was,
but it didn't go in.
No,
the Swansea one.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. That was a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But that was a brilliant header, but we put it, that was like, wasn't from Smith, was it? That was a chair ball in. There's a difference. Mm.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Obviously, we've got to mention Ilias Chair hitting 200 games for the club. That's a great achievement for him. Obviously, how do you boys rate him? Just quickly before we finish up on Coventry. How do you boys rate Ilias Chair? Is he a club legend? What does he need to do to become a legend? Not many players get to 200 games anymore. What are your thoughts, Brad?
I mean, he probably will be looked at, not a legend, because he probably is a legend, let's be honest, 200 appearances, and he's got that Moroccan touch that Tarapa had, hasn't he, a little bit, but he'll definitely be up there. I mean, yeah, I could see it. It's a great achievement for him, but I think he, as a player and as a talent that he's got, I think he thinks that he should be doing better, maybe, which he should be, because he's been a bit quiet these few weeks. But yeah, you know, everyone loves Chair, don't they?
I think it's difficult to call a current player a legend.
Yeah.
I think it's always something you have to look back on. But I mean, he's been a phenomenal servant for us. I mean, he's where he's kind of come from and the development that he's had. We probably thought in his first game, I'm sure it must have been an FA Cup game in January that we lost, that probably was his first appearance. But most of the time when youngsters come on in those games, we're like, okay, we'll never see that person again. Yeah. And he's played 200 games for the club, number 10 shirt, like does that justice week in, week out, always still our main threat.
You've got to remember as well, when is he ever injured? Never Richard.
Don't say that. Definitely jinxed him. Definitely jinxed him.
But
his fitness level is unreal. So when we did the kit, went to the kit reveal, it was the first day back for him, Kenneth Powell, Sinks, and Ozzy. So all the players were in like the dining room area where you could chat to them, get photos, whatever. And those four were out on the training pitch. Had to do four laps of the pitch, which was their only running of and their first session back. He was miles ahead of everybody. And he didn't, then when he finished, he didn't look as if he'd done anything. Like, and there's no, Dykes was in the four, tell a lie. Dykes was at the back, like heavy breathing, which you'd expect. I'm not going to compare their two fitness levels, but yeah, like Ilias must, it feels like he's the kind of player that he would have gone, right, who had the best time of that four pitch run, and I'm going to beat it by 20%, and that's going to be my entertainment for today.
Yeah. For me, I want Ilias to hit one season, easy numbers, kind of 10 goals, 10 assists. Just give us that one season where we can be like, finally, you showed us you've got it consistently for one season. That's all I want. Then we can sell him for big money. obviously, just quickly. There's been a rare appearance from Taylor Richards in the development squad, B team squad, getting some minutes. I think that's positive news for us. I know there's been a lot on social medias about the he's not been in the team photo, but I think a lot could be made of nothing with that. There could be numerous reasons why he wasn't there. Either of you two got any thoughts on it?
I mean, the club have said it's for personal reasons, so you accept that and you move on. Like there could be. We've said on previous pods, there could be so much going on that we're never, ever going to be privy to. We don't need to be privy to it. So you move on. Like, if people are really that bothered that he's not in the team photo, then they've got to be, their life needs to have other things to be bothered about. Like,
exactly.
We need to be helping him and encouraging him and doing, the club needs to be doing whatever they possibly can to get him in a better position that then he can start playing and performing for us. So give him the time, basically.
Unfortunately for him, he was our only big money signing this summer, even though it wasn't big money. Do you think that puts a little bit more pressure on him because we spent money on him and because we're not seeing much of him? Do you think that's why like sections of the fan base might be getting frustrated with the lack of his involvement?
Yeah, but I can't talk for every fan. Obviously, I'm talking on myself, but I think it's a bit fickle to say where is he in the club photo. They've said personal reasons, and I know in the kit launch, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, didn't he say he lost a best friend or a best mate died or something? So we don't know, you know, people suffer from mental health and we don't know what he's going through, and you know, we just want him back, I suppose, because more of an option on the bench. But yeah, it's good he got minutes in the other day, so we just got to see. I mean, for the club as well though, it must be frustrating. Because, well, not frustrating, but, you know, they want to see him play. They want him to see him perform. And, do you know what I mean? But I don't know, really.
I think what might slightly help that situation is that because he was already with us last year, and then obviously it got made permanent, but we knew it was going to be made permanent, it's kind of not seen in the same light, i.e. like this was our only one new signing of this off-season, and he's the one we spent money on. I mean, as ever, fans are extremely fickle. He could come back and he could look outstanding in, he could look at outstanding in 20 minutes in one game, and you'll get every fan that's just said whatever about the situation completely flip a switch and be like, there he is, he's amazing, he should be starting the next game, because that's what fans do. But we've just got to hope that he gets in. When he's ready, he's in a better position to play.
Right, lads. I'm very conscious that Ben told me before the podcast, we've got to keep it down to like 45 minutes to an hour. We're over an hour now. So, Chris, quickly, let's get the Coventry preview in.
Hold on a minute. Who needs Ben Platt? Been unbelievable without him.
Right. So, quickly, Chris, score predictions for Coventry, please.
2-0 win.
Ooh, like it. Brad?
I'm going to go a 1-1. I think we're going to go 1-0 down. We're going to just go for it and it'll be 1-1.
Well, this is going to shock everybody, but I think we're going to win 3-1.
Oh,
I don't
three goals know. In a game.
Wow. 3 goals in a game. I just feel like we've had more than a week. We've had 8 days between games. I feel like Sinks and Dykes are going to start up top, and I feel like it's all going to click. 3-1, home win. Finally going to get a home win. Some goals to celebrate. Hopefully all at the loft. And
I mean,
and we'll have a lovely weekend. That's my theory. I mean, I'm being positive because I'm in charge tonight.
Look, loser spins the wheel.
Right. On that note, thanks everyone for listening. Keep subscribing. Keep like sharing the pod with your friends. Like, appreciate every single listen we get. So, and any feedback we get. So thanks again for that. Brad, Chris, thanks for coming on, lads. Good luck your evening. Appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Boys.
And
boys.
You ours.
You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.